Parshas Vayetze. This is the first parsha, which is all about Yaakov Avinu. We covered Avram. Last week was Yitzchak. Now we get to Yaakov. Yaakov's other name is Yisrael. Every single person, every Yid, is called Yisrael. We all descend from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Yaakov is called the chosen of our avos, and therefore there is something very special about learning from Yaakov, which begins in this week's parsha. The sicha that we learned today is very, very important for a Yiddish life. That's why I'm pointing out that we're all called Yisrael. Every Yid is called Yisrael, which is Yaakov's second name or Yaakov's other name. But this sicha here really demonstrates the two sides of a Yid. On one hand, we have to be more ruchnius. On the other hand, no, we need to be gashmius. Are we meant to be more spiritual or more physical? Do we enter into the world or do we stay removed and daven and learn? Do we stay in our own little bubble of spirituality or no? Or the goal is to go and enter into the world, interact with people around you. If so, then how do you do it in a safe way? So how do you have this balance of being within the world and yet staying above it, not being defined by our mission? In other words, yes, we're here for a purpose, but it doesn't define us. We are really divine, and we're here for a purpose. Therefore, we must enter within the mundane things of life, but we have to always stay apart. We can't let the world affect us. We must affect the world. So that contrast, the constant like balance of being able to be within this world, within the mundane parts of life, but yet always being someone who inspires and doesn't get affected, that is something that we really demonstrate and explain in this week's sicha in a very, very powerful way. And we'll begin right now. Here we go. Chapter 1. This week's Torah reading begins, and Yaakov departed from Beersheba and journeyed to Charan. This, as Rashi says, recapitulates the conclusion of last week's Torah portion. It repeats what happened in last week's Torah portion. The last Torah portion ends that Yaakov left Beersheba and went to Charan, and this week's parsha begins again. Now, everything in the Torah is precise. We derive entire bodies of law of halacha from a single extra letter. How much more so does this apply when an entire subject is repeated several times? This certainly contains a teaching relevant for all generations at all times, including our own and in every place, because Torah is eternal. If the Torah repeats this line, that Yaakov leaves Beersheba and goes to Charan, says it twice, it's because it's a message to every single Yid. That's right. Every single Yid needs to leave Beersheba and go to Charan. Because Torah is not a history book. Torah is guidance. So what's Beersheba in a Yid and what's Charan in a Yid? Let's go to chapter 2. Torah gives two explanations for the name Beersheba. A, it recalls the oath Shavua made at the time of the covenant between Avraham and Avimelech. B, it recalls the seventh Sheva, well, a Yitzchak's servants dug after peace has been made with Avimelech. Both reasons point to the Jews' experience of a state of tranquility. There's two ideas in the Torah that explain what Beersheba means, but both demonstrate a time of tremendous peace by Yidden, like a good, peaceful time. By contrast, that's where Yaakov is leaving. But where does he go to? Journey to Charan. Indicates the polar opposite of tranquility. As our sages state, Charan is identified with Hashem's raging fury in the world. Charan af shleilam. It's Hashem's place on this planet where God's anger is aroused. So Yaakov leaves from a place of peace and tranquility to a place of Hashem's anger. And every Yid needs to somehow leave a place of peace and safety and holiness to a place of anger, of Hashem's anger. What does that mean? But what second did Rebbe start? By asking a question. A question arises. Hashem gave us the Torah and the mitzvahs with a full and generous hand. Wherever we turn, there's either a positive commandment with its offshoots to fulfill, or one of the 365 negative commandments with its offshoots that we must guard ourselves from violating. Since these responsibilities are so inclusive, seemingly, he at least should have spared us all kinds of worries, the worries of gullus, earning a livelihood, and the like, so that we would find it easier to observe the mitzvahs. Moreover, would it not have been better if we did not have to deal with the worldly matters at all, but instead could be more immersed in the Torah? That I was asking a very simple question that I think many people ask, which is, why does Hashem make it difficult for us to do the mitzvahs? He's giving us the mitzvahs, he's giving us Hashem's Torah, Hashem's wisdom, and Hashem's will, otherwise known as the Torah and the mitzvahs. Give us the safety, the safe space, to be able to do the mitzvahs without worry. Why do we have all these worldly matters that pull us away and distract us? Why can't we just live in a spiritual bubble, as we said earlier, and do mitzvahs with joy the way Hashem wants it? In response to this question, the Torah describes Yaakov's mode of conduct. In other words, the mode of conduct of Jewish people as they are set apart from others, existing in a state of purity, unpolluted by other influences. This state was the achievement of Yaakov, unlike Avraham, from whom Yishmael emerged, and Yitzchak, from whom Esav emerged. Yaakov's bed was perfect. All his sons were righteous. We have to learn from Yaakov, who had all his sons righteous. How did he accomplish this? To have all his children righteous, all of his 12 sons became the 12 Shvatim, which is the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. But before Yaakov could marry and build the house of Yisrael, he was told to leave Beersheba, to depart even from the yeshivas of Shem and Aver, and go to Charan, which is God's raging fury in the world. How do you begin to be able to establish your purpose in this planet and to have a full righteous family, which means to fulfill your mission perfectly? How do you do it? First, by leaving the space of Shem, of yeshivas, of holiness, and to go into the world, into the angermost place, where the place that makes Hashem the most angry. Before the time came to build a Jewish nation, surely he could and should have stayed in Beersheba, where divine revelation was palpably manifest. It was in Israel, it was in a holy place. Why he should have stayed there, where it was easy to observe mitzvahs and difficult to sin? However, to build the house of Yisrael, he has to leave Beersheba and go to Charan, a place where divinity was obscured. By its very nature, the world conceals divinity. Indeed, the very word Olam, which means world, stems from the word Helem, which means concealment. How much more so it is true of a place that is singled out as Hashem's raging fury in this world. In such a place, it is very easy to stumble and sin, and especially difficult to observe mitzvahs. Yet by withstanding these trials, Yaakov built the house of Israel. His bed was perfect. Yaakov's conduct provides a lesson for every Yid. Specifically, through facing trials, overcoming and withstanding them, that's how a Yid builds a Jewish home, a home of light and warmth. The first lesson we learn from Yaakov is how to be able to fulfill your mission in this world is not by staying in a safe zone, only in yeshivas, never leaving a home, your spiritual home of light and warmth and radiance. No, the first thing Yaakov does is he goes into the most angermost place, the place that makes Hashem the most angry. By facing trials and to be able to overcome, that even though it's difficult to do a mitzvah, Yaakov leaves the place where it's easy to do mitzvahs and difficult to sin. He goes into a place where it's easy to sin and difficult to do mitzvahs. And by standing strong against the trials, against the real difficult challenges, that's how he builds a full family of 12 children that are all righteous.